was a time in my life when if you asked me a question about myself, I might not even know what to say. Or even if I did, I would feel awkward. I'd feel awkward talking about it, saying it, and really I just wanted to get the attention off of me as quickly as possible. And while I feel a lot more confident about myself these days, I still find myself struggling to say much of anything at all about myself in conversations. I feel kind of weird when people try to offer too much praise or to talk about me in good ways. And still, when people ask me, what do you do for a living, or anything else about myself, I tend to make it brief and be quick to change the subject. Can you relate? If you've ever been involved with a narcissist, I'm guessing that you can. There's a point during the involvement with a narcissist where you go so deep into your own head that you sort of see the world a little differently than everyone else. It's that feeling you get when you're so oppressed in your relationship that most of your dialogue becomes internal. You don't really talk to very many people about much of anything at all. And you start to see through it all. And everyone around you, they kind of seem a little bit artificial. When you look at people who aren't being actively manipulated and controlled by a narcissist, well, their life problems, they might seem almost unreal to you because you're so deep in your head that you almost can't find your empathy anymore. You might have even forgotten how to talk about yourself or your interests, and it might be so significant that you actually don't even know what your interests are. This is when you know for sure that the narcissist's manipulation and control have shut you down, silenced you completely. You only speak as much as absolutely necessary. And rarely, if ever, does your conversation really even involve yourself at all, at least not on an intimate personal level. You sit there trying to look okay on the outside. You act like nothing is wrong because that's what the narcissist wants you to do, and that's the only way you know how to get through it. You pretend that your life is okay. You feel like a little bit of a fraud as you sort of still try to project that image of that life you wish you had to the outside world, rather than the private HE double hockey sticks you're actually living in. Meanwhile, you live with constant threats of abandonment, either physically or emotionally. The narcissist threatens to leave you on a consistent basis. Or they threaten they're going to stop loving you. Or they say that if you keep doing or not doing whatever it is that they're complaining about, well, then they'll just stop caring about you entirely. Or they just tell you, go ahead and move out if you want. Go live a separate life. See if I care. But at that point, you're so incredibly entrenched that there's not a whole lot you can do. You might find yourself feeling emotionally drained, exhausted, and pretty much numb at this point. And I mean, who could blame you? But you find yourself asking, how did I get here? You might have previously been warm, friendly, even extroverted in some cases. But after being in a toxic relationship with a narcissist, you find that you're nowhere near the person you used to be. And then you wonder, is it really possible that the narcissist has changed me so much? What led to my losing myself and becoming a shell of who I used to be? Well, let's talk about that. First, narcissists make effective communication nearly impossible. As important as communication is in any relationship, when we've dealt with narcissists, when we've been involved with narcissists in relationships, even the most skilled communicators can feel helpless and handicapped when it comes to being understood. I mean, I literally communicate for a living, and I was actively struggling with this in my toxic relationships. Narcissists inevitably refuse to understand us, especially when what we're saying is not something like, you're so amazing. For example, try telling a narcissist exactly how you feel about the way they treat you, about how they belittle you, invalidate you, make you feel like you don't matter, all that good stuff. Watch how they twist the conversation around. In some of the most extreme cases, you're gonna find yourself actually apologizing to the narcissist for not thinking they're perfect and for having the nerve to even suggest otherwise. I like to call that the narcissistic flip, but you might know it as deflection. Of course, either way, when we go through years of this, or even months in some cases, not to mention the fact that narcissists often isolate their victims from others who might actually offer some support, well, we sort of forget how to communicate in a way. We stop feeling like we can or even should talk about ourselves, in part because we've been conditioned to believe that we have nothing of value to say or offer. Narcissists also condition us to believe that we don't have anything of value to contribute. So, you know how I mentioned earlier that I don't really feel comfortable telling people about myself and how during my toxic relationship, it was nearly impossible for me to do so? Well, that was the case because the narcissist in my life, beginning in childhood, had made it very clear to me that no one wanted to hear what I had to say. No one wanted to hear about me. In other words, I had been conditioned to believe that nothing about me was interesting or even worth hearing about. Now, this situation is very common for survivors of narcissistic abuse. We believe we're not good enough and that no one really wants to hear what we have to say anyway. So when we do speak up, we tend to keep it short and to the point, at least when it relates to ourselves and our own opinions or beliefs, if we say anything at all. Next up, narcissistic abuse leads to mental health issues. See, when we go through narcissistic abuse, we might find ourselves dealing with depression, we might develop other issues, various compulsive behaviors, maybe an eating disorder, substance abuse problem, anxiety, etc. Because sometimes we sort of try to self-medicate to deal with our issues. We could have flashbacks or panic attacks, and we will most definitely deal with a whole bunch of self-doubt. Some of us might even experience suicidal thoughts. And in the worst cases, some people find themselves seeking or even carrying out the abuse they experienced as a child. Now, on the flip side of that, you might go so far in the other direction that you're a different kind of unhealthy. For example, an abused child who grows up to be a doormat parent, as in allowing your kids to become spoiled and run the show. But it's such a fine line, isn't it? Narcissists actively trigger your trauma response. The narcissist's goal is always to be in control, and of course, as you know, they have no limits to which they will not stoop to get what they want. And since most people who get involved with narcissists report that they've had some form of trauma in childhood, whether related to abusive parents or some other kind of trauma, you see where I'm going with this, right? The fact is that it's your history of trauma in relationships that actually opens you up to being triggered when the narcissist starts playing their typical mind games. So when you're actively dealing with their abuse, you might not notice that you have developed heightened reactions to various common relationship issues. So you might be triggered over something small, like an innocently used phrase that used to mean something awful for you. For example, one of my clients shared a little dog whistling experience she had. Her narcissistic mother would always say, "Well, who are you trying to impress?" So when she was later in a relatively healthy relationship, the same phrase uttered by her partner triggered her in major ways, and it caused her to sort of revert to that little girl she used to be who never really felt good enough. We might also withdraw and become unresponsive when triggered by our old issues, which obviously affects our ability to communicate, but we also almost always feel an aversion to conflict. This leads us to have an ability to sort of talk through our issues, especially when we feel judged by the person we're communicating with, or we feel like they're not on our side. And this is where we get to my next point: narcissists foster self-doubt. See, narcissists have a way of digging deep to find the most painful issues you have, and then they poke at them. This is only part of the reason that most of us end up living with lingering doubt about how people in our lives feel about us. It's also part of the reason that many of us end up doubting people's authenticity around us, especially when the narcissists in our lives include romantic partners in the past. And thanks to the fact that many of us have never felt loved unconditionally by our parents or anyone else, we often find ourselves having a hard time accepting any love at all. We're suspicious of people who even try to offer it to us, and we pretty much need repeated reassurance of the fact that someone cares about us. This, of course, also pushes people away from us and isolates us even further, which makes it a lot harder to even talk about yourself at all without feeling insecure. Life with a narcissist leaves you feeling constantly scattered and confused. This sort of fog that you're living in, it means that you're easier to control and you're easier to manipulate. See, the stress and sort of primal mode that you're in during the depths of the abuse, it makes you feel kind of crazy. And you begin to doubt your perception once the full effect of the gaslighting has kicked in. You might even feel dependent on the narcissist to tell you what you see and think in some cases. And now, not only are they controlling your actions, but also your thoughts and feelings. Oh yeah. Next up, narcissists use your fears against you. They know what you're afraid of, and they use your fears to maintain full control. Whether you realize it or not, chances are that early on the narcissist established that you could and would be moved by your fear of losing them or your fear of being alone. Not only is that the most common human fear in existence, but narcissists are known to actively exploit this in their romantic relationships, and even in family relationships and other types of relationships, friendships, etc. See, this works especially well when you're someone who has also experienced childhood trauma or abuse. As when this has happened to us, we tend to hold on really to anyone who claims to love us for dear life. We spend our whole lives looking for that. And if you're anything like I was, one of your biggest fears might just be that you'll be the last one to know when your relationship is over. See, you're afraid of being humiliated in a situation where everyone knows what's going on but you. You're the only one who really doesn't know what's happening in your relationship. For a lot of us, we also worry that some toxic person in our lives might have been right about us all along. We actually are the complete piece of trash we've done our best to avoid being for our whole lives. We wonder, are we doomed to not being good enough, or are we otherwise doomed to being deficient forever? Well, this leads us to something that if we're not careful and if we don't recognize it, it could pretty much keep us stuck forever. We get deeper and deeper into the trauma bond. We become fully enmeshed with the narcissist. They control us through the active infliction of their perception onto us. They teach us, and they make sure that we don't forget, that their needs matter more than our own. Their needs are always more important than our own. They make us feel like we aren't even real people, and that our feelings and our thoughts and our ideas, they're not relevant and they're not worth expressing, not to mention worth actually hearing or implementing. Well, that of course prevents us from ever reaching our true potential. As we lose ourselves a little more each day, it changes us. And it changes us in a way that could limit us forever if we allow it. So how do we find ourselves again after this? How do we remember? Who are we? Who are you? Do you remember? Growing up, we form our opinions of the world almost subliminally. We gather up the information that's fed to us from our parents, our teachers, our friends, the television, and we decide what we believe about ourselves, about the world around us, and the people in the world around us. Life in general, based on that stuff. Sometimes it can be an okay thing, but when we've been affected by toxic narcissists in relationships, it could become a real problem. See, we're taught that we don't have any value. We're taught that we don't matter, that we're not good enough, and that somehow we're less than other people. And then sometimes we end up with some pretty messed up ideas of what we think we believe and who we think we are. And the worst part is we don't even always know exactly why we think this kind of stuff. Have you ever let a narcissist tell you who you are? I'll tell you what, I always say that going through narcissistic abuse and toxic relationships and choosing to heal intentionally, it gives us this little silver lining that most people don't have. There's this evolution that happens among us that's different than the one everyone else in the world experiences. See, with intentional healing, we can actually become sort of more tuned in than the average person. And what I mean by that is that despite, or maybe because of, the pain we experience and the resulting decision to heal ourselves on purpose, we almost inevitably evolve to a place of understanding and a sort of connection that people who don't go through similar trauma will ever even need to reach. And somehow, this is that silver lining. This, of course, leads me to the old familiar phrase, everything happens for a reason. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I truly don't know if there is some innate purpose in everything that happens in our lives. But what I do know for sure is that we can choose our own perspective and perception intentionally. And by doing that, we can also shape and reshape our own reality. Yeah, I didn't always know that. In fact, I realized as I navigated the choppy waters of narcissistic abuse recovery that it is the understanding of perspective and intentional vibration management that leads us to the kind of clarity most people can't imagine. And in that clarity, we can find healing. We can learn to self-validate and we can understand empathy and compassion on a whole new level. Not only do we grow more sure of ourselves and who we are, and more confident in our ability to stand up and say what we believe, but we also better understand what we want and what we deserve in life when we're healed. And when we're really getting our evolution underway, we might even recognize that we are capable of creating most any change we desire in this life. And we go about manifesting our ideal life on purpose. It's a beautiful thing. The thing is that we are all human. And in order to genuinely manifest exactly what we want in our lives and what we deserve, we first have to recognize the things that are blocking us from making things happen. This part can get really uncomfortable. It can lead us to a sort of cognitive dissonance that blows our minds and makes us kind of want to curl up in a ball in our beds, wrapped up in our blankets and rocking back and forth slowly. We aren't ready for it, our subconscious screams. We aren't ready to recognize, acknowledge, and accept our flaws and the things that we aren't willing to give up in order to make that ideal life happen. Maybe we've just become a little comfortable in our pain, or maybe we're not ready to let go of some limiting belief or mindset we're holding on to. Either way, we reason, the risk of upsetting our lives feels too big, too great to rock the boat sometimes. The fact is that anything that risks rocking the boat, as in forcing you to make personal change you can't take back, or that feels scary or uncomfortable, well, it can leave you clinging tightly to what you know, what is familiar, in fear of what may come next. For example, none of us wants to be overweight, but when we want to lose weight, we can't just walk around and not change our lifestyle. Maybe we want to save money, but we find ourselves broke 2 days after payday every time. Well, in the first example, even just a tiny bit of willingness to change your lifestyle could eventually lead to big results over time. The fact is that you would need to be willing to get through the uncomfortable parts of the change required to get yourself back in shape, like adding exercise to your daily routine or eating more mindfully, for example. And as soon as you did those things, well, you would find yourself already enjoying the benefits of a healthier lifestyle, the least of which is weight loss. But just wanting to lose weight and not taking any inspired action, it's not gonna get you anywhere. It's gonna make you feel bad about yourself, no matter how much you complain about it and let it take over your brain. You see where I'm going with this? This, in recovery, seems to lead to a cognitive dissonance that leaves us spinning right into an existential crisis. Who are we? What do we believe? Do we even really know right now? We find ourselves questioning everything. Everything. Our thoughts, our beliefs, things we thought we knew for sure were true. We feel almost suspended in time, grasping for meaning. Were our whole lives a lie? Did we really even know what happened and what our part was in it all? After my childhood narcissist took those tiny betrayals a little too far, and I was sort of snapped back into reality with an almost literal slap in the face, I finally had enough, and I cut off all contact with her. It was around that time that, as I did go through the standard stages of grief during that initial separation period, I found myself growing as a person on a whole new level. My whole world sort of opened up. Suddenly, everything I believed to be true, especially about myself, could be reconsidered. Imagine. Now suddenly I realized that I was the one in control, that I could decide how it was going to go from here, and most of all, that I got to choose my own story. I was the one who got to define me. And guess what, my friend? You are the only one who gets to decide who you are. Do you feel me here? Only you. Not some abusive narcissist. When we have gone through a toxic relationship of any kind, we go through a time where we kind of have to rethink and develop a whole new understanding of literally everything in our lives up to this point. Now we see how everything has all been connected all along, how one event could have led to another, how invalidation led to a lack of awareness and a lack of self-love, and ultimately to toxic relationships with toxic people. We start to learn that we are actually worthy of being loved, and that we are worthy of being treated with compassion, and that we do not need to keep people in our lives who make us feel unlovable. We become empowered on a whole new level, and my friend, it is truly profound. It is a beautiful thing. But as beautiful as it can be, it can also be horribly uncomfortable. And it is in this discomfort that the existential crisis lies. This is also where stuff gets a lot more confusing. If you're not determined to push through this difficult part, it can prevent you from embracing your true power and from taking your true place in the world. You could stop right there if you wanted to. You've got some good skills in place. You probably won't get stuck with another toxic person because you've learned how to set your boundaries, right? And now you're aware that you have value, correct? But over time, you might find that you naturally develop even better ways to cope, even better ways to deal with the stuff that life throws your way. But here's the secret, my friend. You can do it much, much faster by simply putting your head down and pushing it forward with intention. See, the thing is that letting go of some of those beliefs, those limiting beliefs, it will open the door to unlimited potential. I'm not kidding. I really think that every single one of us is carrying around some limiting beliefs that we've picked up from others, including narcissists, along the way. I say it's time to shake things up. Just imagine the freedom you might feel if you could really eliminate, let go, and drop all of those negative perceptions that people have shoved in your head over the years. Think about how positive your days and your nights and your life would be if you did. The more positive energy, the more gratitude, and the more general peace you can find in your life, the more amazing it will get. My challenge to you today is to identify and challenge at least one belief or perception you've always had, whether it's about yourself or something or someone outside of yourself. You can start small. Maybe you believe that your paper boy intentionally throws your paper in the mud puddle every time it rains, if you still have a paper boy. And maybe you want to just change your mind. Or you can start bigger. Maybe you believe that you really don't deserve to be happy. In either case, I want you to ask yourself, why do I feel that way? Is this logical? And my friend, you might be surprised at what you discover. So are you ready to challenge your negative perceptions and beliefs? Just a quick tip from me to you. Something I do with a lot of my clients is I will have them write down a list of all the things that they think about themselves that are negative, all the negative perceptions. You know, they think they're unattractive, they think they're not good enough, whatever it is, I have them write it all down. And then during a session, we go through each one of those beliefs and we figure out first who taught you that. And then we figure out exactly what the truth is or what we want the truth to be. And so then the client will cross off the negative belief and write down their new truth. And the new truth becomes a form of affirmation for them. It can be a beautiful thing. Give it a shot if you haven't yet. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, can you relate to the feeling of losing yourself and your voice during a toxic relationship with a narcissist? Did you ever forget how to talk about yourself like I did? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit the subscribe button right over there so that we can stay connected and continue together on this healing journey. I'll see you soon.